Well, good morning. This is Community Chest on Friday, December 28th, very close to the end of the year. And my name is Dominic Lukesh, and I'm here in the studio on just pretty much closing out the year on Community Chest, and I'm being held by Fortis Fredrickson, who's braved the holiday cheer and everything and came in to help me. Good morning, Fortis. How are you?
Good morning. I'm fine. I'm ready for some Community Chest fun.
Good. Yes, there's no fun like Community Chest fun. And in particular, because we have a very special treat for you. Well, actually, there's a good chance it's a very special treat for me. but hopefully there are some listeners out there who will find this enjoyable, and if not enjoyable, at least informative, because I will be doing the two of us will be doing the roundup of technology stories of 2007, and I have here a sheet of paper with 25 stories that I think should be online world, made a bit of a splash in 2007. And to go with that, I have another sheet of paper here with a list of 20 songs that are all about computers or technology in one way or another. And so it will go well together, and it will be all sort of all extremely well crafted to make a one unified whole. Are you looking forward to that?
I am. I've been looking forward to this for weeks. I heard it's going to happen.
So are you a big technology person, or are you just a Luddite?
I'm not a big technology person, but it does get me a little bit excited.
All right. Okay. Well, this is a good thing, because it is exciting, and that's what not only what our immediate past was and what our present is, but also what our future is going to be. So even if you find it too much and everything, it's something we should pay attention to, because that is our world, and in particular the world of the people growing up right now. So we're going to kick it off with a song before we get to the top stories, and this is by the web's darling Jonathan Colton, who writes songs about technology, but mostly other things as well. But he's also publishes a lot of his stuff on the web. And last year he ran a song a week, where every week he wrote a song and made it available for free on his website. And if you go to jonathancolton.com, you can probably listen to some of those songs still, or buy the CD. And this particular song is about the people who make the web and computers and everything possible, the people who write programs. And they call themselves code monkeys. And, of course, they don't just write programs. They also fall in love. So here is it.
Get up, get coffee. Code monkey, go to job. Code monkey, have boring meeting with boring manager Rob. Rob say code monkey, very diligent, but his output stink. His code not functional or elegant. What do code monkey think? Code monkey think maybe manager wanna write goddamn login page himself. Code monkey not say it out loud. Code monkey not crazy, just proud. Code monkey like Speedos. Code monkey like tablet Mountain Dew. Code monkey very simple man with big warm fuzzy secret heart. Code monkey like you. Code monkey like you. Code monkey hang around at front desk till your sweater look nice. Code monkey offer buy you soda, bring you cup, bring you ice. You say no thank you for the soda, cause soda make you fat. Anyway, you busy with the telephone, no time for chat. Code monkey have long walk back to cubicle. He sit down, pretend to work. Code monkey not thinking so straight. Code monkey not feeling so great. Code monkey like Fritos. Code monkey like Tab and Mountain Dew. Code monkey very simple man, big warm fuzzy secret heart. Code monkey like you. Code monkey like you. Lots. your coffee cake, take bath, take nap. This job fulfilling in creative way, such a load of crap. Code Monkey thinks someday he have everything, even pretty girl like you. Code Monkey just waiting for now. Code Monkey says someday, somehow. Code Monkey likes Fritos. Code Monkey likes Al and Mountain Dew. Code Monkey, very simple man, big warm fuzzy secret heart. Code Monkey likes you. Like you.
Well, Code Monkey likes Code Monkey like you, and that was Jonathan Colton and the song about a programmer in a cubicle somewhere making logging pages possible for us, and sharing crisps with a girl somewhere in the office. So that was a great song. If you were watching the webcam, another great. Great strike for technology here at Peach Radio. You would have seen Thorny's dancing. So I take it you like the song.
Yeah, it was great.
Well, Jonathan Colton he writes songs like that, so he's one to follow.
I'll have to check him out.
So do you know any Code Monkeys yourself?
Not really. Well, probably not program writers as such. I know people who are, you know, they have those computer screens that look like they're really primitive, but it's because they've written the whole, I don't know, they've like sorted it all out and they're the only people in the world who can use their computer. And I couldn't get that involved in technology things.
Customization is the name of the game. And I always tell people that, you know, that I customize my computers because then it saves me time later on.
Yeah.
I probably, you know, I'll lead the longer life because I have all these shortcuts. Of course, you know, I spend all those days and nights setting up the shortcuts, so it probably balances itself out over time. But
shortcuts are exciting.
But I'm hoping. All right, well, let's hit the first technology story. But before we do that, I need to remind everybody to let us know what their favorite tech moments of 2007 were. Or just any comments on the songs we're playing or what we're talking about, the stories that I picked out as being important. So you can do that by texting 60066 and begin the message with the word future, or email studio@futureradio.co.uk or go to the studio webpage on futureradio.co.uk and click the instant messenger button at the top and let us know what's going on with you. And we'll be very happy to hear from you, and we'll address any complaints, comments, suggestions, rave reviews that you will send to us, no doubt. All right, so story number one. Do you remember the bubble of the 2000s, the burst of the big internet bubble?
Yeah.
And were you? Okay, well, so you weren't too young. So it looks like there's another bubble coming.
Oh.
And it's the name of the bubble is Web 2.0. Uh-huh. And have you heard of Web 2.0?
No.
No. Well, okay. Well, very few people have outside the industry, I would imagine, but very, very many people have taken part in it. It's things like Facebook and all these social networking and bookmarking and things like that.
Yeah, I didn't know it was called
that. Yes, and what's happening, there's all these companies are launching, there's new sort of new media things and MTV, the old media companies are getting in on the game. And there's a lot of hype, and a lot of companies are getting, you know, millions of dollars to do something where it's not quite clear how they're going to make their money.
Yeah.
So we're looking at maybe another burst, and maybe in a year or two. There is some good news here because the old bubble happened because people were buying stock. It was all about the IPO, the public offering of the company stock, and very few companies actually survived that. So you may have bought stock in pets.com and now have nothing. But luckily, this time, very few companies, for various reasons, are releasing their stock. So the way they're getting money is from VCs. Have you heard what a VC is? It's another term. It's another buzzword, and they're VC, and that's venture capitalists, people who have cash to spend, and they give it to these companies. And half of them or more, they're expecting to lose the money on most of those investments, but some of those investments will pay off. mightily, and hopefully will prevent a huge, you know, overspending in that area. But it's certainly it's a bit exciting. So and I have a song just for that. It's called "Here Comes Another Bubble," and it's by a barbershop quartet called the Richter Scales, and they are. They made quite a splash with the song about a month ago, where there were some lawsuits against them against their YouTube video. But this is just a song, and they mention all these important buzzwords about the Web 2.0, the key names like Sergey Brin. You know who Sergey Brin is?
Yes. One of the founders
of Google. And
okay. I'm with you.
All right. Okay. We're on the same page here, but it doesn't particularly matter. But so you can listen to this song and see how many text terms and names you can take off. And be aware, because that's where all the money, all the smart, well, smart and maybe not so smart money is going these days, is Web 2.0.
Like some fries. Happy days are here again. Larry Page, Sergey Brin. Time to write a business plan so I can be like those guys. Here comes another bubble. It's a monster rally all around the valley. First you need a buzzword, then a second and a third. Pick at least two industries to revolutionize. Find yourself an engineer. Feed him pizza, buy him beer. Give him just a fraction of the pie.
That was the Richter Scales, a San Francisco a cappella group from their CD. Well, actually, it's not from their CD. This was just released on the internet. But their CD that they released was called "We Hate A Cappella." So, so it's all ironic. So that was about the Web 2.0 bubble, and the lyrics, if you were listening closely, mentioned quite a few. Big names, sort of iconic names that people in the web world will know as Webvan. Do you remember Webvan or Pets.com? Those are the two big companies that were started in the first bubble, Web 1.0, and they went bust spectacularly. And then there's some of the new ones, so Digg.com, social news, and Flickr, and Meebo, and WikiU, Mahalo, Bebo, and all of these. So, one of those. so you will have heard, if you follow the news, the tech news, you will have heard most of these words. And I certainly recommend, keeping an eye out, because some of these will be becoming big, and some of these will be becoming big disappointments in the months and years to come. All right, so we're moving on this Friday on Community Chest with me, Dominic Lukesh, and Fogarty's Fredrickson, who is keeping me company and keeping me grounded so that I don't overdo this techie thing here right before
the end of the year. Here for the layman.
Oh, I apologize. All right, okay, well, we have the next two stories. We'll go through two at a time now. Because it's 20 past 10 and we've only done one. So we're going to have to go faster. So these are related to number two and three. Number two is Facebook's rise to power. Are you a Facebook or a MySpace person?
I'm a Facebook person.
Have you ever been on MySpace or are you new to this?
I've only been on a couple of friends' pages, but I'm really much more of a Facebook. I mean, Rupert Murdoch it's his part of his empire, MySpace, and so I feel like by principle I should.
So you're supporting somebody else's empire.
Yeah, exactly.
Mark Zuckerberg, he was a Harvard undergrad when he started Facebook for his friends, and he refused to sell out to Yahoo for supposedly something like, I don't know, what was it, $200 million. So he certainly has a lot of faith in him. Well, Facebook shot to the popular consciousness last year when they opened up to people who are not just in universities.
It was funny to me because in my first university, which was now, 4 years ago, I got onto Facebook, and then a lot of my friends weren't on it. And then gradually, like, people started trickling on, and then they'd have, like, no wall posts, and then, like, they'd get really into it, and they'd be on it all the time.
Right.
But really recently, you notice more and more people who aren't at university because obviously they've opened it up, which is great because
you've got all these
friends.
Good. More and more friends. And, of course, the big thing that Facebook did this year, when we talked about, we had Ross and I kind of had a face-off about Facebook and MySpace, and the big thing that MySpace didn't do as well and Facebook did really well was to open up their platform for applications. So those little vampire things and news quizzes and
Scrabble.
IQ quizzes.
Scrabulous. That's gripped me and my friends.
Good. You know, so that's what Facebook did really well. MySpace didn't do it as well. So they're lagging behind, even though they still have 100 million users as opposed to Facebook, who only has 20 million or so. But I think MySpace users aren't quite as faithful to it as Facebook's users. Because I have a MySpace account, I never go on it, but I use my Facebook account a bit more.
I think MySpace is prettier. Like the page, the profiles, it seems that you have more capacity to make it really beautiful, or at least a couple of the profiles I've been on seem much prettier. And there's little things, but I don't know. I think Facebook's more like user-friendly, kind of easy to get along with.
Well, the reputation of MySpace is that it's actually there's a potential of making it pretty, but most people turn that into not that pretty.
Actually, yeah, I think I've been on some that are really ugly. I suppose I just have a couple of arty friends who've really made the most of it, and it's beautiful.
Yes,
and
but
wonderful photo things going past, slideshows going past.
I would imagine that might be more the exception than the rule.
I
like the simplicity of Facebook myself.
Yeah,
of course, Facebook got into a bit of trouble a month or so ago with their beacon program, which was, you probably haven't heard of it, but it was there was definitely a big stink about it in the tech world because they made partnerships with some online retailers. So if you bought something, it went into your little feed that you bought it. And originally they made it opt out. So you were automatically in unless you consciously opted out. So a few people got burned because they bought Christmas presents for other people. And all of a sudden... And there were lots of privacy concerns about that. So they've kind of did a turnaround and they made it opt in. And it's not quite sure what will happen, but they're hoping... that will be kind of a good news for advertisers because you'll be advertising for them in a way. So we'll have to kind of watch it and see if Facebook turns evil or not. but there's plenty of competition for Facebook out there, and that brings us to story number three, and that's again it has to do with social networking, but this time Google joined the fray and announced something called Open Social. And what that is not a social space itself, like Bebo or MySpace or Orkut. Google actually owns a space called Orkut that's big in Brazil for some reason.
Really?
and they did something that's proposed a standard so that all of these different spaces could interoperate. And MySpace joined, and there's maybe some hope that Facebook will join, and we'll see if something happens. But what that would mean that you could play your Scrabulous with somebody on MySpace
That's
or Bebo.
Great.
So you wouldn't have to, you know, go where your friends are. You could go where you like it and then, you know, still be able to connect with your friends one way or another. We'll see what happens. But it's gonna, that was definitely a big news about 2 months ago. And we'll see if something comes of it. So I think now we'll play another song. But before we go to that, let me just remind everybody they can text us at 60066, beginning their message with the word future. Email studio@futureradio.co.uk or go to futureradio.co.uk and click on the instant messenger button at the top of the page and let us know what you think about tech news of 2007 and the news we selected and the songs we're playing. And the next one will be actually by an internet YouTube sensation rather than by an established artist who comes to the web. His name was Tayson Day, and the song was called Chocolate Rain.
Ooh,
and it's kind of a funny thing when you watch it. I'm not sure how well it will translate into just the words, but it was a huge hit, and the guy got some advertising money from that as well, and it's just basically everybody's heard about Chocolate Rain, who's been on YouTube, I think, and so here it is, and let's see.
Chocolate rain, some stay dry and others feel the pain. Chocolate rain, a baby born will die before the sin. Chocolate rain. The school books say it can't be here again. Chocolate rain. The prisons make you wonder where it went. Chocolate rain. Build a tent and say the world is dry. Chocolate rain. Zoom the camera out and see the light. Chocolate rain. Forecast to be falling yesterday. Chocolate rain. Only in the past is what they say. Chocolate rain. Raise your neighborhood insurance rates. Chocolate rain. Makes us happy living in a gay. Chocolate rain. Made me cross the street the other day. Chocolate rain. Made you turn your head the other way. Chocolate rain. History quickly crashing through your veins. Chocolate rain. Using you to fall back down again. Chocolate rain. History quickly crashing through your veins. Chocolate rain. Using you to fall back down again. Chocolate rain. Seldom mentioned on the radio. Chocolate rain. Your leader's car control. Chocolate rain. Worse than swearing, worse than calling names. Chocolate rain. Say it publicly and you're insane. Chocolate rain. No one wants to hear about it now. Chocolate rain. Which real hard it goes away somehow. Chocolate rain. Makes the best of friends begin to fight. Chocolate rain. But did they know each other in the light? Chocolate rain. Every February washed away. Chocolate rain. Stays behind as colors celebrate. Chocolate rain. The same crime has a higher price to pay. Chocolate rain. The judge and jury swear it's not the face. Chocolate rain. History quickly crashing through your veins. Chocolate rain. Using you to fall back down again. Chocolate rain. History quickly crashing through your veins. Chocolate rain. Using you to fall back down again. Chocolate rain. Dirty secrets of economy. Chocolate rain. Turns that body into GDP. Chocolate rain. The Belka blames the baby.
Well, that is the fading out of Chocolate Rain by Tayson Day on the big YouTube hit And we were, as we were listening, I started the YouTube video here for 30 seconds. So what do you think?
I can't believe it. I think everyone should YouTube it, because you wouldn't believe who's coming after that person.
Yes, yes. The guy looks like he's about 12, even though he's in his 20s, apparently.
Wow.
And he claims that's his real voice. And it's one of the most parodied videos on the...
I bet, yeah.
And the best, if you're looking for a good parody of that video... on YouTube, you go to Darth Vader singing Chocolate Rain.
It's actually some pretty good Darth Vader videos out there.
Yes, definitely a really good thing to do. All right, so we have Chocolate Rain here, and we'll just power through some more top news from last year. Probably the one that everybody's heard of or everybody's been touched by in one way or another was the iPhone craze.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say that has to be on there, doesn't it?
Though? Yes. Well, I have this kind of number four. I mean, because I claim the iPhone is a bit of an overhyped product.
Yeah, totally.
And if you can actually go play with it down in the O2 stores that are in Norwich, and they have plenty of them on display for people to touch and play around with them. And I was, you know, it was when the first announcement came in January. Everybody was very excited. I was watching the announcement live, and everybody, you know, the Jobs note, Steve Jobs keynote, and it was very exciting. And then when they started announcing all the things that were not in it, it got a little less exciting all the time.
I mean, I haven't actually touched one yet. Are they more durable than you would think? Because I mean, it's a touch thing. You'd think it would get incredibly.
It gets very dirty.
It
doesn't get scratched, but it gets greasy. It doesn't get scratched, it gets greasy. So the most interesting thing about the iPhone is not so much the gadget itself, even though the touch technology has been really nice, but it hasn't quite been all new in all the respects. But they've done, you know, they did the usual Apple thing. It looks nice and snazzy and beautiful. But it's expensive, and it locks you into a contract.
Yeah.
And
didn't some kind of university student over in America spend his summer unlocking it?
Yes, he did.
The
there
internet.
Were several teams that were unlocking the iPhone. One of them, well, this particular guy who did it as a commission so he could buy a car, and he actually took it apart and used
soldering irons and everything.
But now there are software ways of unlocking the iPhone. Well, I think lots of people missed out on the other big phone news. There's the company called HTC, who very few people know about because they make phones that phone companies then present as their brand, sort of house brand. So like the MDA on T-Mobile and things like that. And they made a phone called HTC Touch. And that's quite a nice phone, and it uses Windows Mobile, and also made a phone called HTC Vox, and that's what I got from Santa this year.
Oh, wow. Oh, it looks very snazzy.
And it has a little slide-out keyboard, so you can do many. It's much easier to type on than the iPhone keyboard. It has a full, it syncs with Windows much better. It has kind of a, you can put your own applications on it, which you cannot do with the iPhone, which I think is just horrendous. And, so it's just basically, it's your own phone, a phone you can own, and a phone you can buy unlocked, which is what I did as well.
Yeah.
So if you want to have a look around. So a company called HTC, if you're looking for an alternative to the iPhone, that's a good place to go. And, of course, if you want to buy the iPhone or the HTC phones or any of these other things, you're probably going to do it online. And for that, you will need an eShop. And while you're shopping, you may sing an eShop shuffle. Well, this is Community Chest this Friday, 28th of October on Future Radio. December.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. I'm up on the tech news, but not quite up on the dates.
Maybe that's all that Christmas brandy. And
yes. Future Radio 96.9 FM. My name is Dominic Lukash, and laughing at me here is Thordis Fredriksson. And she quite rightly points out that I was 2 months off on the date that I was giving out. So it is the 28th of December. December, just 3 days left in the year. And what a year it was in technology. So you were just telling me, Thoris, about some of the things you enjoy about phones and how you thought the new Skype phone from the Three company was disappointing.
Yeah, I thought that was going to be a lot more of a good deal than it turned out to be, because my friends and I, we were looking at all the different contracts and thinking, wow, Skype phone, you can Skype people. Like, why would they even do this? Because, you know, they're losing out so much money on their contracts. But then if you actually look, it's only Skype to Skype calls. So you're really limited. You can't Skype out. You can't call your friend in Russia on her mobile. It's not so good. And I don't understand, because you might as well get a Windows mobile like you now have and download the Skype application program and thing just use that
instead of a phone if you're on near Wi-Fi or something.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, there's some nice things about the Skype phone that I didn't put it on as kind of a standalone item, but it has its advantages. I mean, particularly if you know a lot of people who have Skype. And I know you were just throwing these Skype out, Skype in terms as everybody knows it. But you can use this Skype program from your computer if you're on the broadband connection and call your friends who are on Skype for free, no matter where they are on the internet or in the world. And but you can also buy some credit and make really, really cheap calls, again, all around the world. So you can call the United States as cheap as you would make as if you were making a local call here in the UK. And
it's brilliant.
So it is a really great thing to do. And I use it all the time. I don't use my phone almost at all, except, of course, to get on Skype, now, which my new phone will allow me to do. So that's all great. And you were also, I just want to say we've had a first comment here from Jeff, who says there's obviously a reason why tech people don't tend to do music, judging by the last two tunes.
Okay, I retract my woo.
That woo is canceled. The Richter scales, I think he's referring to Tazen Day and the Richter scales. Well, the Richter scales, of course, were singing a Billy Joel song. Billy Joel tune, rather, yes, and with their own lyrics. So I don't think you can blame that entirely on tech people. And I think they did a pretty good job.
Yeah.
I mean, you're a singer. You're a music major, so you know, I can rely on your true word for that.
My opinion counts for something. And yes.
Yes.
They were good. They were good songs.
Tazen Day, you know, I mean, we'll give you that.
Yeah.
I mean, that was more of a novelty thing.
We faded him out anyway.
Yes. Really, you need to watch that as well as listen to it. I think I'm not sure it stands up quite as well on its own. And then we had the James Foreman and the E-Shop Shuffle. I think that he was doing pretty well there.
Yeah.
And of course, it's not the usual music we play here on the community chest, but we're kind of in a festive spirit, so why not? And it all kind of goes nicely together.
We're working with a theme.
Yes.
Come on, give us a break.
Absolutely. So, next couple of stories, I think we'll go three stories in a row, just kind of before we play another song, because they kind of relate it. And they also relate it to this music theme that was launched here. And because there are some important stories in the music world and the internet and technology. First up, I think what happened was that iTunes offered DRM-free music. Now, from the lack of woos
I'm doing a very knowing look without actually knowing what you're talking about.
Well, you were just saying that you finally got an iPod, your long-time wish.
Thank you, Mommy and Daddy.
Okay, well, I'm not a big fan of the iPod myself.
It does have its downsides.
And one of the downsides is, of course, it's so linked to iTunes, and if you buy a song on iTunes, it will come with a gift that you're not realizing you're getting, and that is called DRM, or Digital Rights Management, but it should really be called, it is also called copy protection.
Yeah.
So basically, they're selling you a bill of goods in a way, because they're saying, well, you're buying a song, but there's nothing you can do with it. Just play it on one iPod.
Very frustrating.
Yes.
I don't see how they get away with it. I mean, it's brilliant marketing, I suppose, but we'll sell you something, you buy, and then you can only play it on 5 computers and your iPod. Okay.
And what's worse, if you have the songs on your iPod, you can't connect to another computer and leave them there. They're on your iPod.
It's such a limited, MP3 players where you can reuse them like a memory stick, USB drive thing, and iPods don't do that at all. So I see where you're coming from. I totally get
the
whole iPods
are rubbish. So if you're into the freedom, so iPods are beautiful. I mean, there's just like everything Apple does, but there's always that little hook that that little Steve Jobs, the CEO of Apple, that just thought, well, I'll do something to just make it easy for most people, but then really annoying for some.
Yeah.
So that's the big news is that now that wasn't all Apple's fault. DRM was actually a requirement of the music companies so that they can sell music on iTunes. And one of the companies has relented. EMI has been offering DRM-free songs on iTunes. First, they were a little more expensive, but now they're the same price as all the other songs, which is, again, the 70-whatever pence. And 79 is, oh, goodness.
It is, yeah, it is expensive. And especially when I think in America they're like, what, 99 cents,
yeah.
I also find it very annoying that you can't just go on the US store and buy things, because I really wanted to buy a track last night that, strangely, you can only get on the US store, which is very frustrating.
That is, because that's again the music companies, because they have all these rules about different copyright regulations here and there.
But you can buy, you can buy the CD here. Not the track.
Yeah. Absolutely, because of course what people say is, of course, the only people they're inconveniencing are the honest people who would buy the stuff anyway. If you're a pirate, you don't need, you're not stopped by this in the least. So again, I think that they're, the music companies are definitely shooting themselves in the foot, and they're realizing it. So EMI has very successfully launched their entire catalog, DRM-free, and it's available on iTunes, but also on Amazon, who has also launched an MP3 store. Unfortunately, in the US only for now, so hopefully that will soon be available to us, but it isn't at the moment. And EMI was joined by this other big company, and it's completely dropping their name. But it's one of the big four, and they decided not to do that on iTunes and only do it on Amazon.
Oh.
Again, one of those sort of positioning moves. They're trying to kind of put one over Steve Jobs, who's kind of had them over the barrel with iTunes. So there's so many things that are going on in the background that are really just kind of annoying us and making us less and less likely to buy music and more likely to learn how to pirate it, because because we just don't want to deal with this annoying, and really sort of duplicitous stuff that they're putting over on us. So that's one big piece of news. Hopefully DRM is on its way out, because they're realizing it isn't doing anything. Well, a related story to that is the Radiohead have released a song, an album on the internet without DRM, and you could, and not only that, you could choose your own price for the album.
Wow!
And I think it was possible to choose zero, so some people got it for free. And it also showed up on all these download sites, just because, and people were kind of giving that as an example of, now we're all used to going to these download sites.
Yeah.
So even if it's free on the Radiohead's website, well, why not just go where you're used to? So again, the music industry hasn't really helped itself a lot here by sort of teaching the masses how to do that. Now, and a related story. Story number seven is a U.S. only story, but I think a very disturbing one. That was the RIAA versus Jamie Thomas. It's not quite clear how she pronounces her name. And
I like
Jamie. I like Jamie as well. Well, she wasn't particularly Jamie in this case, because she lost a court case in the U.S. And the RIAA, the music industry group, was awarded damages of $12,000 per song that she shared on Kazaa, I think.
Oh, my God. Wow.
The actual infringement happened about 3 years ago. And it's quite obvious that she was connected to Kazaa and everything. But it's just, but she gets, she's a single mother who now owes the music industry something like $250,000. And I think they're just ridiculous, and they're not, they should be ashamed of themselves for even trying that, because they're trying to scare everybody from downloading songs, and it's not working, because of course, most people don't hear about these things.
Yeah.
And even if it's working, then people will just I'm afraid that people will just go away and will not buy music, instead of if they can't get it in a reasonable way. So shame on you, music industry, particularly in the U.S. But I'm sure they would do it here if they could. As well. Well, and I have just the right song that will play right after I remind everyone to text 60066 and begin the message with the word future, or email studio@futureradio.co.uk, or go to the website futureradio.co.uk and click on the instant messenger link at the top of the page, and let us know what you think about technology, what has happened to you with technology. Ask any questions you'd like to ask, or criticize the music we play, because the next one is all about music and and digital rights and things like that. And it's by the big star in the U.S. Well, he's kind of a parody artist, Weird Al Yankovic. And this is from his album White and Nerdy, and it's called Don't Download This Song.
Once in a while, maybe you will feel the urge to break international copyright law by downloading MP3s from file-sharing sites like Morpheus or Grokster or LimeWire or Kazaa. But deep in your heart, you know the guilt would drive you mad, and the shame would leave a permanent scar. 'Cause you start out stealing songs, then you're robbing liquor stores and selling crack and running over school kids with your car. So don't download this song. The record store's where you belong. Go and buy the CD like you know.
Well, don't download this song by Weird Al Yankovic, and I would say don't download this song if it's with DRM.
Yeah, definitely.
And because authorities were just telling me that you got sort of suckered into buying an iPod, not just because it's pretty, but also because you have all this music that will only play on the iPod.
That was the thing. My friend, he said, oh, you can steal all of my music, but obviously it's all off iTunes. And then I bought all these great songs because I wanted to make CDs for my parents for Christmas and my friends. And so all these great songs that you can only play on something like an iPod.
Yeah,
that's it.
But also you said that it's you're worried it will scratch, and then you need to get a case for it, right?
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. I suppose you need to get all these things. Yeah. And you know, my parents got it. It's beautiful, but I'm so terrified because I've seen it happen to other friends. Yeah. You know, they've had it. And
they're notorious
after it,
for scratching. But the iPod actually is one of the advantages of the iPod that the other players don't have, that like from Creative or Kowon or some of the other companies that do good players or Samsung, is that there's a whole industry around the iPod. So if you want a good case, you have a choice of 10. You want speakers that will plug in and charge from. You get all of these things. And supposedly in a few weeks there will be a big show called Macworld in San Francisco. And and it used to be all about the Macintosh computer, but now it has been pretty much taken over by iPod, and there's a whole, from what I hear, a whole new wing that just for iPod accessories. So,
I believe it. There are loads when you start looking.
Yeah,
all massively overpriced, of course.
But you want to protect your little baby, don't you? So that's fine. But I do, before we go on, we also talked about some of the music that's DRM free, and you mentioned podcasts. But before we go on to that, talk about that, I just want to tell you and everybody, if you want an alternative to iTunes, the iTunes Music Store, go to emusic.com, which sells great music. It's not the big labels, the small labels, but it's much cheaper. The tracks are about, about 30p or so a track. And they you need to buy a subscription, like, £10, and then you're like a credit for a certain number of songs. And you know, they're very high quality and they're completely DRM free. So they're just yours to own.
Fantastic.
And there's another place, it's called amystreet.com. It doesn't have quite as much of a selection. It has more sort of a self-published artist. But the nice thing is that the songs start at some like 10 US cents. And as they get more popular, they get more expensive. So if you're at the beginning of the curve of the popularity of a particular song, you can get it for cheap, and then and if you want to join the crowds, you can get it maybe for up to 90 cents. So that's kind of a good place to go. But you were talking about a podcast as kind of a great thing to listen to when you have an iPod. So what kind of podcasts do you listen to?
Well, my American friend has got me into all the things he used to listen to at home. So lots of NPR things like Wait, Don't Tell Me, which is really funny and fantastic. They're obviously like very into like American politics and things. So you need to kind of know what's going on over there to get the humor. And I suppose like, what's it? That's Politics or whatever from NPR.
Right, right.
But also I started then browsing because now I've got the iPod. I got really excited and went through the store. And there are so many. I mean, I'm very into like conservation issues and green things.
Mm-hmm.
So I was looking through some of the more green, podcasts, and I haven't managed to listen to them yet, but I'm quite excited.
And there are quite a few music podcasts as well, and we'll actually talk about some BBC stuff that's been out on a podcast in a few moments.
Yes, loads. I discovered.
Because I'd like to get through some the last three stories in the top in the first 10 that I have on the list here before the news, if we can. And the first one is about online video. It's pretty much continued to grow. You know, we've had the YouTube sensation phase on day, and there's also a thing called Juiced or Used or something like that. It's J-O-O-S-T, and that's a new venture by the founders of Skype.
Oh.
So it's technologically very interesting, and it's this thing. Basically, you're getting a streaming, high quality streaming video because it's shared the same way the Skype is shared, and that's kind of been getting some attention. It's not quite there yet, but if you want to try out some, if you're bored with the Christmas TV or this holiday TV, try Juiced. That's JOOST.com. And of course, there's good stuff on YouTube. Google or somebody, maybe IMDb, put up the entire That's a Wonderful Life on Google Video for free, so you can. I actually watched it for the first time ever last night.
Film.
So you can certainly get that. And the other thing that's helping the video in the U.S. is something that people here may not realize is going on. There's a writers' strike going on in the United States.
Yeah, there is. And isn't it like Jay Leno and people are actually intending to do their show
without
their writers, so, which should be very interesting.
So we'll see how funny they really are. And
I think
one of them has already said it's probably not going to be very good, but they're going to have to do it. So quite a few of your favorite American programs like, House and things like that have actually, if you've seen all the episodes of this current season, you're probably going to have to wait until the writers reach an agreement with the TV and film industry. And it's all about rights, about rebroadcasting, getting their royalties from rebroadcasts online. So that's what's at stake. But also it's helping the online world because lots of people are turning, including the writers themselves, are turning onto YouTube. So if you want to go and see what the writers themselves are putting up, you can do that on YouTube. And so that's story number 8, I think. And then number 9 is a big story that I did a bit of raving and ranting about here. It's the BBC iPlayer.
Oh, yeah.
The BBC has introduced an iPlayer, but it was the first release was awful. It was all, again, it's all DRM, which is fine because you can only, once you start watching, you have to watch it in a week or something like that. And it's only available for a month after broadcast. It would, which is okay, fine. I mean, if that's what they want to do, that's fine. But the problem was it was only on Windows XP. It was available and it was like bought into the Microsoft thing, wholesale. And so it was a huge outcry. It was a petition, and the Board of Governors relented in a way, and they told the BBC they have to provide a different way for people who don't have Windows, and that is now available. So if you go bbc.co.uk/iPlayer, you can actually stream the video. So you don't have it on your hard drive, but you can stream the videos. And I have watched a few videos that way, and it's really it's decent. It's It's kind of like YouTube quality, but, you know, that's not too bad.
I kind of prefer streaming. I always feel like I'm not so committed if I'm not putting it online.
Absolutely. And the other problem with the BBC iPlayer was that people were getting hit with all these bandwidth charges because it wasn't made clear to them how much the player would use up in the bandwidth. And so it was completely technologically and, I think, sort of socially and always mismanaged. But they're slowly pulling it back together, so I think that will be okay. And, of course, they have also launched they have this longest trial of podcasts, and now they have launched it, you know, live. So lots of great radio programs are now available as podcasts. I mean, I listen to the News Quiz, the Now Show, the Friday comedies are available. The Archers, the great, you know, so if you're an Archers fan, you can, you know, keep up on what's going on at Ambridge. and also, you know, you can do a lot of other, you know, a lot of other things that you know, pretty much anything on Radio 4, the film reviews from Radio 5. Do you listen to any of these?
No, I'm rubbish really listening to radio. But I know my dad listens to Radio 2, so I looked up some of the Radio 2 stuff, and they've kind of got little good things like the best of Chris Evans's week into a podcast and things like that. So.
Right. Yeah, but if you're sort of interested in programs that are sort of, I don't know, educational in some way.
Yeah, they've got
all,
they've got loads.
Like the Star of the Week, which is, you know, like every Monday on Radio 4. So I definitely recommend look at the Radio 4 ones, and you can get these podcasts. And when you sort of chatting around with your iPod around your neck, you can certainly, you know.
Sounds like an albatross around your neck. Why are you
there? It is a bit at times, Okay, well, we have just a few seconds before the news. So, last story in the top 10, number 10. And it's all about this thing called net neutrality. And it's related to the BBC announcements because the UK broadband providers all started saying, well, the BBC should be really paying us because they're putting up all this stuff out on the internet. And that's, of course, a wrong thing to say because they're saying, basically what they're saying is, well, we've been selling you something, never intending to deliver. Because our business is predicated on you get all this broadband connection, but if you use it to the full, that means using it unfairly, using it too much. So they're trying to, you know, get some other people to pay for their infrastructure, and there's been a huge outcry about that around the world because it's not just a UK problem. So you watch this space. Net neutrality will become a big thing very soon, and we'll see what else is happening around the net soon after the news. Well, you're listening to Future Radio 96.9 FM, and this is Friday's Community Chest this week, and this, the end of the year, with me, Dominic Lukesh, and being helped out here by Thordis Fredriksen, who's telling me all about her browsing habits and the ways that, as all the great videos that you can find online. So, what is it that you watch online?
Well, being a bit of a sci-fi fan, my mum and I are now watching Battlestar Galactica, which you could never explain in a way that anybody who's not into sci-fi would ever think it was worthy of watching. But it's actually very good. You know, it's all like, you know, robots taking over the world. But it's good human drama, despite the fact that it's all in space.
Yes, the new one is good. The original one is just awful.
No, the new one's great, and there are some beautiful people in it.
Yes, definitely. Well, there's always beautiful people on TV, but believe you me, the beauty is on the inside, and we got it in spades. I got the inside one. You have the outside one here for today's show. Well, as I said, this is the Community Chest that we talk all about technology and what's been happening in that space in 2007. And we've covered the top 10, well, not quite top 10, just kind of the top 10 on my list here, stories in the first hour. And we have 15 left, and we've also been playing some music that's technology related, and I've had another message. The first one was that not quite liking the songs we've played. We have another one from Mark Watson who says, I think the tunes are quite funny actually, and something different at least, and that is absolutely right. So we're gonna go for that, and I have another message here from Paul Weston. So who says, go to YamiPod, it's YamiPod.com, and you can download the YamiPod.exe file, and then you can do all sorts of stuff with your iPod. And that is true, you can hack your iPod particularly if you get the older editions, if you have the classics, you have the touch and all these stuff, they're sort of hack-proof these days. But you can also use a program called Media Monkey, and which is what I use for tunes. That's much more flexible than iTunes, and you can sync up with your iPod as well.
Oh, cool.
And there's quite a few. So you can usually get around the restrictions one way or the other, and you can even install a whole operating system on your iPod because it's, you know, it has a little processor and everything. But most people will not do that. So
and I feel like I should be taking notes.
Yes. Well, there's a whole industry around the iPods that is aimed at, you know, providing accessories. But there's another whole industry about that's all people just looking at cracking it and doing different things with it. And that's not quite much of an industry because they usually release their programs for free. But there's definitely a lot of going on in that space. And we were also talking about the podcasts before the news. And I want to remind everybody that Future Radio puts out quite a few podcasts now, and you can get to them through futureradio.co.uk/podcasts. And this whole show will be there as a podcast.
Wow.
So if somebody wants, is going for a long walk and they want to catch up, they can listen to this show. Of course, we'll have to cut out most of the music because of the copyright restrictions. That's another thing that I think the music industry is doing not too well, because, you know, we could have advertised all these artists and now we're not going to. But or we're not going to do it on the podcast anyway. But
don't need to take notes of the show now. You can just listen to the podcast.
Yes,
that's what I have to do.
absolutely. And of course, there are many other podcasts, including the platform show in its entirety, including some music, because that's usually unsigned artists and different clippings from the different community chess shows as well.
Mm.
And hopefully, we'll be able to ramp it up some more in the new year. And people will be able to listen to quite a bit that goes on this station, which is Future Radio 96.9 FM. And if you want to get in touch with us, let us know what you think. Any iPod cracking tips, any rants about the music, about any technology, or any questions. Go do that use your mobile phone and send a message to 60066, begin your message with the word future, or email studio@futureradio.co.uk, or go to the webpage futureradio.co.uk and click on the messenger button at the top of the page. And now we're going on to story number 11, and that's a bit of a, this show usually has kind of a social focus, and this is definitely right up the alley of the social issues, because something that people may not realize, that Google is just one of the biggest companies in the world, and it's really, you think of it as a search engine company, but it really is an advertising company. they sell advertisements, they let other people sell their advertisements and make a bit of money on their websites, and they have billions and billions of dollars in cash, and they make billions and billions more in revenue. And their motto has been, do not be evil. And it's actually on their webpage somewhere there, if you look at there, don't be evil. But something has happened last year that has a lot of people wondering, and that is they're buying a company called DoubleClick.net. Have you ever heard of DoubleClick?
This has passed me by entirely. Okay. I'm listening, eager ears.
Well, because you haven't heard of DoubleClick, but they have heard about you. They're the company that have been selling advertisements on web pages for ages, since the web 1.0 bubble. And what they're doing is they have these banner ads, and they put something on your computer called a cookie.
Oh, yeah.
And you've heard of cookies. Well, they give you cookies. And these cookies don't taste that good.
No. Because sounds a lot of a nicer gift than it actually is.
Well, there's really nothing too sinister about them on their own. They're actually really useful for a website to remember that you're logged in. And, so you couldn't do the web without cookies. But what DoubleClick do is they put a cookie on something called third-party cookie. So when you go to another website where they have an advertisement, they read that cookie and say, oh, we saw that person on suchandsuch.com, and now they're on thisandthat.com. And so, so we see a bit of a pattern, so we're going to serve them more targeted ads, which, frankly, I sort of prefer, because then I see ads that kind of are informative to me in a way. But on the other hand, what they can do is they can set up these, they can cooperate with some companies, and they can actually match your name to your browsing. And that is a bad thing.
Yeah. more creepy.
Yes, and that's somewhat, they're not supposed to do it, and you know, so there's a lot of fuss about this, and the deal was just approved in the United States, but it still has to get an approval in the EU. So hopefully, you know, we're not sure if it's a good thing. We're not sure if Google will sort of impose its not to be evil policy on DoubleClick, or if DoubleClick will slowly corrupt Google. So something to watch. And I, you know, I'm not sure whether the EU should say yes or no. It's really an antitrust issue, because they're both huge advertisers on the net.
Yeah.
But you know, we're going to have to watch this space and, you know, be very sort of vigilant about our privacy. Because one of the things that are going around net is privacy is dead, and we're gonna have to, you know, sort of hope that it will not be so in its entirety. And
goes back to the Facebook thing, because some people really have hardly any information on their Facebook page, and I tend to, you know, have everything.
Yes.
Everything I possibly could. Which I don't feel nervous about, but I should.
Well, but you lead a virtuous life. You know, but a lot of people post about their, you know, drunken parties and pictures of vomiting and things like that. So, you know, so, and if an employer, which of course all the employers these days, you know, they'll Google you before they hire you. If they see you, well, they'll have a second thought about giving you a job. So that's certainly.
Though I suppose anybody who's had a student life, there's probably some kind of revealing picture somewhere that.
Yes, but you know, in the past you couldn't just Google your name and get that as the first thing about you. So, so that's probably not what you want. So you know, people should be so careful about what they're doing with their information, even, you know, when they want to share it, because it kind of helps you establish connections. But you know, be a little sort of, particularly, you know, people in their teenage years should be aware and their, you know,
D-tag.
Yeah. Of course, you know, there's all these criminals who, you know, that have posted videos of their crimes on YouTube. So, you know, so maybe it's good that we don't educate the criminals, you know, who sort of implicate themselves, but let's educate the, you know, the law-abiding folk, so that they don't sort of pay for their youthful indiscretions later on. And we'll go to number 12 as well while we're at it, because there's quite a few, of course, scandals about lost data and personal information.
Oh, yes.
You know, it started off with TK Maxx and the other, you know, these companies in the spring, and then the UK government joined
it
on a massive scale. And I was really amazed. Well, I wasn't that amazed, really, that it's been happening, but it certainly hasn't, you know, done the people who are proposing the national ID and all of these sort of databases any favors. So I think, again, this should remind us that, you know, privacy, if it is to be maintained, it needs to be sort of vigilantly guarded, and then we need to have open policies that everybody knows about how the data is kept and how it's secure, so that it's a, you know, so something that's called security through obscurity has been shown not to work, because there's always going to be somebody somewhere who will know about you that you don't know that they know. So it's better if everybody knows where the stuff is and then knows how it's guarded and it's kind of publicly accountable, rather than being sort of hidden and relying on nobody coming across it. So
I don't get why there's been such a spate. I mean, we never seem to have had such huge breaches before, and then suddenly there's loans.
No,
we just don't hear about them.
You're mistaken. They were just never an issue. Once there was one of them became a big news story, so all of a sudden all the other ones came.
Because it's very confusing. Suddenly, like, coming from every angle, there seemed to be, oh, they've lost this, and they've lost this, and this wasn't even encrypted, and this is in a bin somewhere.
I mean, and you see, most of these things are human errors. They're not necessarily technological errors. They're usually errors of policy, or just somebody not observing a policy. So, you know, that's usually how hackers get you. It's called, you know, social engineering. Somebody wants to hack into your system. They usually go through a weak link. And weak link, very often these days, often that is Windows, but but as often as not, it is a person sitting.
Yeah.
And there's an acronym, I can't remember what it is now, that the support people is that. That goes as the problem exists between keyboard and chair. So, and that of course is often the case. But do not despair. Do not despair, because you know, we're all learning, and it's just something that we're gonna have to get used to. So I think it's time for, we've been sort of being depressed a little bit, so I think it's time for a little bit of love. And here's Betty Curse and Met on the Internet.
Yeah.
Radio on 96.9 FM and Community Chess, Friday, December 28th. And my name is Dominic Lukesh, and I'm joined by Thordis Fredriksen. We're talking about top 25 tech stories of 2007. And we were just talking about privacy before this, and Thordis were telling me that your friend has met somebody on the internet, and I was wondering, I have a little quiz question for you. What was the first wedding performed over online?
Oh, I don't know.
Guess. Give me a year. What do you think? What year was the first wedding?
Probably a while ago. I don't know. 5 years ago or something. I don't know. Or was it really recent?
1870s. That was the first time. you're way off.
Wow. How wrong can I be?
There's a book. There's a great book that I recommend to everybody called The Victorian Internet by Paul Standage, I think his name is. And just go to Amazon and search for Victorian Internet. And he has all these stories about the telegraph and how it's spread. And it's become really very much like the internet in many ways. People, you know, the community was much smaller and the access was limited. But it actually followed similar trends, just like the internet, including the code monkeys and things like that. And lots of novelty things were happening as well. One of them was a woman wanted to marry somebody against her father's wishes, so she ran off and he was somewhere else. So they got a minister and they got wed over the telegraph. And that was in 1870 somewhere. I don't remember the exact date. So, so nothing, there's really nothing new under the sun.
No.
But of course, now we can all do it and we have all the keyboards and mice to do it with. So it's a little bit easier and a little bit more open to everybody else. Okay, so let's move on to story 13 that I have here. And there were things that not always, not that good necessarily. And there were a lot of outages on the internet in the last year. I don't know if you've come across any. Skype was down for 3 days.
Yes.
Oh, God, those people tearing their hair out. And that's why I keep my hair short, because there's often opportunity to tear it out. And it's much more difficult when it's cropped tight.
Yeah, I can get a good handful.
Yes, I know. It's hard. And so Skype, definitely a lot of people disturbed. It was connected to, they claim was connected to a lot of people rebooting their computers at the same time after a Windows update. And they were not prepared for quite the onslaught that they got. So people were wondering if that was the real problem, but that's what they said. Another big outage that very few people will have noticed, but the ones who did notice it were probably screaming, was Microsoft. They have this little thing. When you buy Windows these days, you of course know, and then you want to download something new, a new program, you need to install something called Windows Genuine Advantage, which is called WGA, which means that you need to go online and you need to sort of convince Microsoft that you did not steal your copy of Windows, right? And so it's kind of presumed guilty. And it can happen when you're installing updates. Very often, so be careful. Make sure that you have a legal copy of Windows before you install WGA. The problem is their server went down for like a day and a half. So a lot of people ended up with Windows that were thinking they were stolen. And some people were even locked out of their Windows because there's all these new policies that Microsoft introduced of, reducing functionality on Vista and things like that. So, so that was quite a bad outage. And again, underscore the problems with DRM and the way that, that they're controlling you remotely. And I think people, particularly in big institutions, should be wary of maybe buying Microsoft products just making sure that they really know exactly what they're getting into, because there was another call for schools not to be so happy to get Microsoft products, even if they're getting them at a discount. And there was a recommendation by one of the school bodies, I can't remember which one it was, but earlier this year. So, so this is kind of related to that.
I don't know if schools do this, but I think they probably should have both Macs and Windows to get people used to both interfaces.
They should actually get something more. And well, that's our next story.
Oh.
But I just wanted, there's a few more outages that happened. And Virgin Broadband was out for a day and a half, at least twice, I think, last year, if I remember correctly. So that can happen. But, that's just we have to get used to it. That's just that's life. And somebody, the San Francisco office building, plugged in a coffee, the heat or something, some in the wrong plug, and they and there was a massive outage in one in a San Francisco building where a lot of servers are stored. So a lot of these Web 2.0 companies were offline for about a day because even though all these hosting companies have, you know, massive backups, just so again there was confluence of different things. So the backups did not quite kick in the way they should have. So we should be aware that we're going to keep relying on this internet thing, but we never know. You know, it could just not be there one day.
Yeah.
It's still a little fragile, and then particularly now with the new video, you may not remember, but about 5 years ago, one of the big recurring stories was that the internet is going to crawl to a halt and grind into a standstill. Or one of the metaphors somewhere there, if you mix your own. And that didn't happen.
No.
And I was kind of one of those people who were surprised that it didn't happen because there were a lot of images and audio. And now with streaming video...
Well, the use of the internet has changed a lot.
Yeah, so a lot of people are saying unless the ISPs, the internet service providers, don't invest in their infrastructure and their backbone, bad things might happen. So we'll see. And we're hoping it won't happen, but... It could. So again,
I'd be distraught.
Yes. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to be so harsh. So the other story is we're just talking about what should you get when you're a school or a small sort of non-profit company, and usually you buy a computer and there's Windows on it, or or you buy a Macintosh which has the Mac OS on it. And both of these have released new versions this year. So that's the big stories. So, of course, Vista has been out, and it hasn't received all the positive reviews that it was hoping for. Personally, I run it on two computers. I don't think there's anything too wrong with it. But, of course, some of the older programs won't run. If you have an old scanner, there's a good chance it won't be compatible. But it has to be really old. So it hasn't... And frankly, it hasn't really brought that much advantage, other than just looks nicer, but it really, you know, that's kind of a matter of opinion. And I can make an XP machine do pretty much the same thing that Vista does, so I'm kind of on the edge. I don't think it's much of a disaster, but it's,
It does seem to be the looks, because I appreciate all the pretty touches, but I don't know. Lots of people probably don't.
It is a lot more secure. There has only been one big vulnerability, whereas in XP, at the same time in the last year, there have been about 8 or so. So it's a, so it's definitely a step in the right direction in terms of security. But of course, Mac OS have also released a new release of their, the X, the 10 version, the 10.5, but it's known to everybody as Leopard, replacing the old Tiger. And so we don't know what the next one will be called, but because they're running out of cats. They've had, I can't remember what the other ones were, but certainly there have been through 5 of them now. And that hasn't been without its flaws either. There have been some interface problems people didn't like. There were some security problems, and some people were getting, I don't know if you've heard of the blue screen of death on Windows. The thing is, when everything goes wrong, you just get a blue screen with lots of text on it.
Yeah.
So Mac users were getting a blue screen as well because of a. Usually they get a white screen that's called a kernel panic, but this was a white sort of a blue screen during their install, and some of them it stayed on the machine for 4 hours before it went away. So, so there were some problems for both of these companies. But on the other hand, there is a third option that you have, and that's called Linux, which is free. And it's open source. So it's not only free, but it's open, so you can go in and change things, add things, contribute them back to the community. And there are a lot of what's called distributions that you can get and put on your computer. And then you can customize them, and they come with all the software that you need. So if you're an institution that's not locked into Microsoft already, like I am, for instance, I've been using Outlook for so long, I'm kind of reliant on it at the moment, and I use Word a lot and things like that. But if you can... you should investigate Linux, and particularly a distribution called Ubuntu, ubuntu.com. They'll send you free CDs to try out if you want. And for a school or a nonprofit organization, that's something to consider, and the government should definitely give it a lot more attention. And the nice thing about, of course, it's been 5 years since the latest version of Windows. You know, Vista took 5 years to make. Leopard took 2 years. They were both late, a year and a little bit late. And... Linux gets released, new releases all the time. Ubuntu gets 2 a year.
Wow.
So there's always something new. They're always on the march, and you always know what's going on. There are no secrets in the open source community. It's something to look at. I installed the latest version of Ubuntu, which came out in October, and it's great. It looks wonderful. You can customize it. It looks just like Windows or Mac OS or whichever. So that's the advantage. You can make it look pretty much like anything you want. And you have Office on it. You have Internet. You know, you have Firefox. All the things are already on the system, so you don't need to do that many things. Unfortunately, if you have a lot of legacy stuff from Microsoft, then you need to then you have a bit of a problem. You know, so we'll see what the future will bring up. I'm hoping Linux will make more of a stride into the awareness of people. And Dell has been now selling computers with Ubuntu on it, so that's been good as well.
It sounds like the kind of thing that would start to take hold now, like as the, I don't know, as I feel like people are getting a lot more tech savvy and kind of, I don't know, into social things where you're kind of giving stuff back. I don't know, I might be completely misguided.
Unfortunately, most of the revenue for Windows comes from big companies that you know, buy these huge licenses and governments and schools. And I think these people should, particularly government and schools, should think about, are we going to put the taxpayer money back into the community? Are we going to just put it in Bill Gates' pockets? Even though he's been quite charitable with his untold wealth. But I still think there's maybe we should sort of be a bit more careful about what we do. So we'll see what happens. I think it's a good, it's kind of an interesting, in an interesting stage right now, but it's been in that interesting stage in quite a while. So we'll see. The predictions haven't been all that accurate so far. Okay, one more story, number 15, and God, we're going to have to go fast on the rest of them, is, again, open source Linux news related, but you can get a cheap laptop now called EEPC from Asus that's cost £220. It has Linux on it. It's tiny. It's well under a kilo, and it has... And it has a 7-inch screen, has a small keyboard, it's beautiful, it's cheap, it runs Linux, that makes it a bit cheaper than if it ran Windows. And it's great, a great little computer for kids. And another one has also appeared called the OLPC, the one laptop per child. And if you're in the US, you have a few more days to buy one. You can buy one for $400, and then that will get you one, and they'll also send one to a child in the developing world. So that's a... And again, that's all based around the open source technologies of Linux, and it's doing good things. So, hopefully that will finally take off in the next year as well. So, so things are on the right track.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. So we've been talking for a long time on this community chest on this Friday, Future Radio 96.9 FM, and it's all about technology and what's been happening in 2007. And let's listen to Kraftwerk in Computer World Live. Radio 96.9 FM. My name is Dominic Lukesh, and I'm here with Thordis Fredriksen, and we're going through the top 25 stories of last year in the world of technology, and we've gotten to number 15 at the moment, so we have 10 more to go and 25 minutes to them in, so we'll have to do quite well. We had a message from Bensley, our IT support guy here at Future Radio. And he agrees that the Vista isn't too good, and because they've had Microsoft have to release their upgrades to XP, their old operating system, even though Vista has already been out there for almost exactly a year. And he says yes, Linux is a good thing, and he suggests the Debian distribution. And that's another one to look at. I think Ubuntu is good if you're if you're not a tech expert, if you're just somebody who wants to pop in a CD, install a system, and just keep on going. And Ubuntu is getting better and better. That's its mission. And I bet you in 2 years' time it will be, it's already as good as Windows, but in 2 years' time it will be even better, and it will just basically surpass, all those commercial operating systems. And we'll see, and because Microsoft doesn't have a good track record, it takes them a long time to develop a new one.
Yeah.
So they better get cracking if they want to stay on the top of the game here. All right, so during Kraftwerk and their computer world, Thordis was showing me a wonderful new iPod, the 80 gigabytes.
I'm very proud.
And with custom engraving on the back of it to the Viking princess.
Yeah, that'd be me.
Yes, that's great. You know, last time you told me this, it's actually with a good translation of your name is the Thunder Fairy.
There's all manners of things. Mighty Prince and Thunder Fairy, Mighty Thor.
All right. Okay. Well, good. That, you know, that will keep me shielded from the, you know, the wrath of Microsoft. That is.
Yeah, I've got my hammer.
Bound to descend upon us. For, you know, we haven't really been very kind to the big companies. But I am actually going to be kind in story number 16 to Microsoft a little bit, because the funny thing is they're such a huge company and they're, you know, they kind of have a reputation for being evil, and they, you know, they just lost a huge antitrust case in the EU, so they're going to have to pay some money to the European Union, which is good, and this, a similar way that they had to in the U.S. Almost 10 years ago now. And but they do good stuff. So, you know, for instance, their live.com service is pretty good. But what they did this year in particular was they released Office 2007, which some people don't like because it changes the way they have to use it. But I like it a lot, and I think for newcomers to computing, it's actually going to be good, because Office has all these features that nobody ever gets to use because they're hidden away. Mm. And their new interface, it's called the Ribbon interface, actually makes them quite accessible. And I've been using Word since version 2 for Windows or something like that. And so, I've used it quite extensively, so I know pretty much every feature of it. And I like the new Word. There are a few things I don't like about it, but that's been with every upgrade. I've always gotten it, and I've always liked it. But there were always one or two things that they got rid of that I liked. The same thing this year, this time, but I think it's well worth getting it, and you can also get it for fairly cheap as a family, so you can get it for well under £100, and that isn't too bad if you're kind of into that Windows thing. Of course, you can get OpenOffice from openoffice.org for free, and it's just as good. It will create Word documents, it will read most Word documents, so I would say, you know, unless you already have a huge library of Word and Microsoft Office stuff, OpenOffice is good, and it's, again, getting better, and it's all open source, so you know what's going, it's all open in the, and you can join in the programming and add a feature or two if you'd like to. But there's also another challenge to, that's the Web 2.0 challenge to Microsoft Office, which comes from these online offices. So have you tried Google Docs?
Yes, I was just thinking about it. Great minds. Great minds. Which I've used, which is great. Brilliant. I loved them. I was using their spreadsheet thing, and fantastic.
Yes, they're great for basic usage. They're perfect, and they're easy to share. So
yes, that was,
and every
really
time
great
you
thing.
Go, it's easy to share. I've just published an edited volume with a colleague, and we wrote the entire introduction using Google Docs because he's in Hertfordshire, I'm here, and we just, you know, we talked over Skype and just worked on the document at the same time. Wonderful. Microsoft has released a beta of what they're calling the Office Live, which will make it easier to share work with Office 2007 if you both have the same Word 2007. Yeah. So that will be interesting because even though these online offices are good, they're not quite as powerful. So we'll see what happens. The other one is called Zoho, Zoho.com, and Zoho Office, and they even have a PowerPoint equivalent as well, which I think Google has introduced as well now. So, interesting stuff. Definitely pay attention to that. Okay, story 17 is a very, very techy story, so I'll power through it. Is that if you buy a computer, the heart of the computer is the processor, and there are two companies that have been vying for the processor attention, is Intel and AMD. And the Intel, of course, you know, they used to be known for their Pentium. Now they're named Core or Core 2 Duos. And then AMD has been known for being cheap and often a bit faster than Intel for the same price, or for even lower price. And that has been reversing in the last year and a half or so. So Intel now not only has decently cheap processor, they also have very fast ones. So if you want to get a cheaper computer, you can go for AMD, but Intel's still has the lead. I don't know if most people will notice it. Something to be aware of is that there's these two companies. They're pretty much, for most users, equivalent, but the nice thing in the processor world has been this dual core thing, is that now when you buy a computer, you pretty much have two processors. So, you know, you can burn a CD and listen to music at the same time or do something at the same time. That didn't used to be the case. So
that's great.
So that's great. So it's great news. Okay, 18 is a new gadget and a new service from Amazon called Kindle.
Oh.
Unfortunately, only available in the U.S., but it is the future of computing. It's an e-book reader. It's a device that you can buy books on and read books on without your computer. And without a book, so it can have 20, 50, paper. It uses e-paper.
Yeah.
And the reviews of the device itself have been mixed, but the service, everybody loves it. You can get books fairly cheap compared to their hardback price. Also compared to some of the other online books that you can buy from Sony, for instance, who have their e-book reader, which is a bit more, on which the books are more expensive. And so, We'll see. I'm really watching this with great hopes that because I love books. I have, I have several thousand books, and I would love to get them all into one box so that I don't have to have the physical paper because they're heavy, and they get moldy, dusty, and everything.
I do love books, though. I mean, I don't know if we'll hopefully never get rid of them. I can see all the benefits, using paper, and it is great to have them on a screen, but I do like to have, especially books I love, I like to have the hard copy, and a well-leafed copy as well.
I love the smell of books, I'll admit that.
Yeah.
However, things change, and this is a change that's going to happen. It's not going to be anytime soon, so don't worry. It's
no,
going
I definitely
to be a few
think it
years,
should
yeah.
happen. I think that there's a happy medium of some books around.
Unfortunately, the one thing that I think they're missing the trick a little bit, because if they aim this at students, this is ideal for textbooks that change a lot, and then but unfortunately it's not that easy to mark things in it and excerpt yet. But hopefully next generation we'll see some improvements.
It would be good if it was the kind of thing where you could search. If you could actually search through it, that'd be great for students.
Yes,
you have to leaf through things, trying to look for that word.
Absolutely.
And you can't find
it. So, yes, you can do that. If you want to get in Europe, the only way to get an e-book reader is to use this thing called SciBook, which was just released. And it's unfortunate, as I say, the technology isn't quite there yet. So I'd be happy to pay. They're expensive. Kindle costs $400. But I'd be happy to pay it if it allowed me to do a lot of the stuff that I do with books, like mark up things and search easily and things like that. It's almost there, not quite yet. Hopefully next generation, that's the future. and I like it.
Sounds promising.
19.
We're doing well.
We're doing well. Story number 19. Halo. Have you heard of Halo?
I feel like I've heard of Halo, but you might have to.
Halo was the big game, the big entertainment release, the biggest entertainment release of all time. So it's a computer game that runs on Xbox 360, and they sold within a few days $300 million worth of these games, which is more than any movie has ever made.
Wow.
And it's kind of a long story. It's supposed to be very good to play with friends. I'm not much of a gamer myself.
No.
But I think that's a good, that's going to, they get a lot of bad press. But in fact, I think they're usually, if you look closely, you see they're probably for the good rather than for the bad. So Halo is a good one. Of course, Guitar Hero has been very popular.
Yeah.
Which is what I don't understand. I've tried to play it. I played the guitar a bit myself. And I don't see why I should play that. But there are a lot of guitar players who like Guitar Hero, and there's even a band in the U.S. called Guitar Zeros, who only use the Guitar Hero little plastic cheapo guitars, and they play, and they hack them so they actually have more of a range, and they play entire songs. They have a CD out entirely on Guitar Hero. But of course, Guitar Hero 3 is out now, and it has a competition in a thing called Rock Band. So you can get a plastic bass and a little drum set and a little microphone. So you have all of your friends have a little rock band and sort of play together. So it's kind of a nice social aspect to this.
Sounds fun.
Yes. And, of course, story number 20 was the big rivalry between the three big gaming platforms, which is can you name the three big gaming platforms?
No, you go for it.
PlayStation. Sorry, this is an awful thing to do to somebody, a test, a pop quiz. All right. Of course, there's the Xbox 360, and there's PlayStation 3 from Sony, Xbox 360 from Microsoft. And there's the Wii from Nintendo, which has been getting a lot of attention.
Yeah.
Impossible to get. They're making a million of them a month, and they're selling like hotcakes.
Wow.
Xbox 360 has been around for the longest, for 2 years now. It's got good games. And PlayStation 3 has been a bit of a disappointment, unfortunately. So, PlayStation 2 actually was more popular, sold more copies in the first half of last year, at least, than PlayStation 3. It's very expensive, and there are no killer games for it out yet. It's good. I mean, it's not that it's not good. There just hasn't been as much of a reason to get it as there has been for these other two, which is Wii and Xbox 360. That might change in the years to come, but at the moment, Wii is definitely getting all the buzz.
Grabbed public imagination.
Yeah, and I played it a little bit when I was in Prague with my friend's 5-year-old son, and it's good. It's good for the whole family and their
friends.
Yeah,
I've never had a go. I'm hoping at some point I'll come across a friend who has it, so I can.
Yes. Well, maybe Tim will bring his one day, or his daughter's rather, into the studio one day. So that was story number 20. And we're not doing too good on time. It doesn't matter because we love the internet technology, and we should play an internet love song, which is a bit of country from a guy called Bob Ritchie.
I live on burgers, Cheetos, and ice cream. Got nothing but lard in my bloodstream. Guess my sweet tooth was something more than a phase. So I sent a picture out in the mail. Oh, hey, look, you sent one too. Let's just...
Oh, my
whoa,
God.
Wait. I saw your picture today.
Community Chest on Future Radio 96.9 is sponsored by Langford Letting. Always looking for new tenants and landlords.
Well, that was, this is Future Radio 96.9 FM, and that was Bob Ritchie and the Internet Love Song with the subtitle called She Blocked Me, which is a lot of people are now breaking up over Facebook, I hear, so this is a good way to, I don't like you anymore, you're not my friend on MySpace. So, my name is Dominic Lukash, and for the last 10 minutes, I'm joined here by authorities, the Thunder Fairy Fredrickson, and we're going to have a technology round. We're going to have to power through the last five news. And the number 21, I'll just go very quickly, is the HD TVs, the flat screen plasmas and everything, have gotten incredibly cheap. However, there's nothing, at least in the UK, that you can play on them to make it, take advantage of it. So you buy this thing, and you get worse picture than you had before. So my recommendation is wait a year or two until, unless you have Sky HD or BBC, I think, are putting some stuff out over HD as well. So unless you can get that, or wait, yeah. Because they'll get even cheaper, even better, and it will actually be worth it soon. So unless you really need a new TV or are incredibly rich. All right, so number 22, it has to do with HD again. There's been a war going on in the last year or two, actually. And it's not the war in whatever country that there is a war in. It is the form called the format war. You remember VHS and Betamax? You don't.
No.
but you've heard tell, I'm sure.
I've heard, yeah.
And actually, neither do I, because that was I was fairly young at that age, and I was also living behind the Iron Curtain, so we didn't have those imperialist, newfangled things like VHS. But it's back. And there are two different formats for high-definition videos. There, one of them is called Blu-ray, which is backed by Sony, and the other one is called HD DVD, which is backed by Microsoft. And they're pretty much exactly the same from the film quality perspective. They're just unfortunately not compatible with each other. So when you buy an HD TV, high-definition TV, you have to decide if you want to get your old DVD player, which, of course, won't be as good quality, if you want to get this new HD TV, but you have to decide which one. And unfortunately, not all the studios support both. Actually, quite a few studios only picked one. So you have to decide which films you like. So it's actually another reason not to get an HD TV. There actually is a Blu-ray player, so you can play the Blu-ray DVDs in the PS3, the PlayStation 3. we were just disparaging a few moments ago. But it turns out there was a survey done last year that most people get this and they don't even know that they have this functionality. So, you know, so again, I mean, I would wait. There certainly hasn't been a winner of this war yet.
I was going to say, which do you think will win?
And there is I have absolutely no idea. I haven't been a big fan of Sony for a lot of things they've done in the recent years. So I'm kind of, you know, I'm sort of hoping Sony will lose just from entirely personal reasons. But unfortunately, AGTV is backed by Microsoft. Yes. You know, so just kind of which camp you're in as kind of a, you know, as a football fan.
Yeah.
It's hard to pick. Technologically, there is no difference from the film perspective. If you want to use it on a computer, Blu-ray has more storage. So you can burn a Blu-ray disc that has 50 gigabytes on one disc.
Wow.
But you can't really buy these burners cheap yet. And good luck finding a disc to burn something on.
Yeah.
So really no point in getting too excited about this. It will shake itself out somehow. Maybe a dual player that will play both. There is one already, but it's more expensive than two standalone players at the moment. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. Again, I think there's a huge mistake by the entertainment industry, and a lot of people are predicting maybe there won't be a solution until the streaming will be resolved. So maybe none of them will win, and the internet will be the thing that wins the day. Mm. All right, 23, and we're getting to the crux of the matter here. One of the things that has been happening, of course, on the internet is spam.
Yeah.
And yeah. And one of the things that happened was that there's all these zombie computers, the hackers or the malicious hackers, I should say, because hackers in general are good, but there's the malicious hackers have taken over millions of computers around the world, mostly Microsoft, all Windows XP, before they were patched, and now they don't know. You don't know that you have somebody actually can hijack your computer. And they can, it's called a botnet, because they're little bots, like robots. And these botnets are huge, and they're used by rival gangs for different things. And it happened earlier this year in Estonia, who removed a statue of a Russian war heroes, and the Russians didn't like it, and nobody knows how it happened, so it's still conjecture. But the story is that it was the Russians got some hackers and got some botnets, and they attacked Estonia. All you do is they just sent a lot of traffic to Estonia. You know, so they didn't attack them anymore, just sent a lot of data to them. And all of a sudden, Estonia's internet went off because the entire pipeline to the country was just flooded with this junk stuff, basically. So this could this couldn't happen, you know, to a country like UK or US, but it could happen to a smaller country. It can certainly happen to a company. And suppose there's a lot of extortion going on, like an important company before like a big launch or a big event. They get a letter, you know, wouldn't it be too bad if your website went down just at the wrong time? And, you know, and they're being asked to pay money. So, well, you know, so hopefully somebody is doing their job on the policing side here. I'm sorry. So it's not just a spam. So be aware, when you get an email, a spam, don't click on the links. Don't open any of those evil attachments, because you could become one of those zombie computers. So
it's like a horror film.
Yes. I mean, it doesn't really do you personally any damage, but you could do damage by proxy without even knowing it to other people. So, you know, so you get spam, and then all of a sudden, without knowing it, you're sending spam as well. Yes. Yes. So, you know, so it's a... be careful, and, you know, be vigilant. That's the our motto here. Now, I have a very personal, slightly embarrassing question for you. Have you ever Googled yourself?
Yeah, of course. There's actually quite a hilarious cartoon of some kind of 4Ds out there, I think. I don't know how easy it's to find.
Yes, I have as well, because I have lots of websites, and so I do it for vanity, of course, but I do it for sort of professional reasons as well. But it turns out that 47% of people have Googled themselves. And 3% of people do it every day.
Wow.
Which I think would certainly lead to some health issues.
That'd be really
down
boring.
The
yes. There's nothing exciting about me every day.
But so a lot of people Google themselves, and it's kind of seen as a bad thing, but I don't think so, because you should know what's out there about you. We're just talking about privacy and all this data out there. So, you know, we should certainly be aware. So Google yourself and make sure there's nothing untoward about you out there. Now, story 25, the last one. We made it. We have just a few seconds left. And what is the word of the year according to the one of the big dictionaries online? It is woot, which is spelled W00T, and it's a gaming slang for expression of happiness. So when you own somebody, there's another word called pwn. When you pwn somebody, you say woot, I pwned you. So that's what you do.
That's and that happy.
In 2007, that was a 25 story and some 10 songs about technology with me, Dominic Lukacs, and Thordis Fredriksson. We made it. We did it.
Woo!
The news is up next.
Happy New Year!
Absolutely.